Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, last week we talked about destiny, and we sort of went over what the Bible teaches about the destiny of the world, the destiny of the lost people of the world, the destiny of God's people. And one point we made was the simple fact that God has history already written. I mean, you think about destiny, it has to do with a destination, but it has to do with how you get there. And we've got a God who is over all, who absolutely has a end in mind and is in charge of the process to get us there. Thank God we can put our hope in him this morning. But, you know, I got to thinking about that because you could believe all that. But the thing is, God wants to bring this down to the level of where we live every single day. What good is truth about the general picture of where the world is going and all of that if we don't relate it to our daily lives and how we get there? And, you know, I thought about a simple question to ask. How many of you, understanding that God writes the big picture and history has already written, understands that God has already written the story of your life? You know, we talked about the book of truth that the Lord revealed to Daniel, but how many of you know there's a page, or however many pages are necessary, in that book with your name on them? That God has planned all about you. He knows you. If he knows all how many hairs are on your head, I guess he knows the rest. And so God has a plan for our lives. And the reality is, we didn't choose when to be born. We didn't choose the circumstances of those things, but God has us here for a reason. And we were born into the world at a particular time, and we know how God has revealed to us the reality of where our world is headed and how it's going to end. It's not going to end well for the world, and God is allowing Satan to pursue his purpose, to deceive those who want to be deceived, who want to rebel. And we're going to see the greatest crescendo, if you will, or the greatest depth of darkness that this world will ever have seen. And it's unfolding before us every single day. And yet this is the time in history when God has called upon us to live. And our lives fit into that picture. And he wants us to know and to be able to move forward with a confidence in him that, yes, he is in control, and we're going to be able to fill our particular place in his plan. I want that for me. I don't want to just muddle along and believe the right stuff with my head and it not really translate into what happens in my life. So I believe with all my heart God wants us to understand that. And, you know, I was thinking of Esther. You know, this is the time of year when we read through Esther, if you're reading the chronological Bible this past week. And Esther was born into an unusual time in history when the people of God had been first carried off to Babylon, then they were conquered by the Medes and the Persians, and the Jews got scattered through their empire. But God had something that he was working out. Esther didn't know anything about it. All she did was go through step by step and try to do the right thing and trust God. And God arranged for her to be queen. And there came, and I won't go through the story, which most of you know, but there came a time of desperate need. And you remember what her uncle Mordecai told her when she was questioning, what can I do about it? Who am I? And he says, who knows, but you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe that's true of us. We may not have that exalted place. We may not do something that in the span or the scope of history is that great or something where they're going to write a book about you because your name is so great. That's not what it's about. But God has a particular place. There's a reason you're alive now that I am. And he is looking to accomplish something not only in us but through us in this hour. And I pray that God will lead us to that and will enable us. in every way that is necessary. Well, we know that when Jesus came in the flesh, began his ministry, one of the first things he did was to call disciples. There were those who followed him, and then led by God, he picked 12 of them to be his disciples in a special sense, and he trained them. He spent time with them. And then he actually commissioned them at several points, I think, but at least one point, where he sent them out with the message, the kingdom is here, and to heal the sick and so forth, all of those things that he put in their hands to do, and they did it. But and you remember some of the things that he told them. You know, it's awful easy to think about, oh, the world is going to get darker and darker, but how is that going to affect me? Well, the Lord told them how standing up for him in a dark world was going to affect them. Said, men will persecute you. They'll it mentions at least in one place, they'll kill you. They'll put you in prison. They'll bring you before councils. If they do, don't worry, I'll give you what to say when the time comes. I'm glad for that. God's right with us in every situation. But you will be hated by all nations for my sake. But he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. I'll tell you, that's what God is preparing us for. Whatever our place in all of God's scheme is, God is preparing a people. And I believe with all my heart, I'm talking to some of those people. And I believe God is wanting to awaken us. I thought about Matthew 24. I don't want to get into a lot of this. You remember this was right before, not long before Jesus was crucified. And the disciples were calling Jesus' attention to the amazing building of the temple. And, oh, look at this structure and look at how this is built. And isn't this amazing? And, of course, Jesus took the opportunity to say, everything you see here is going to be torn down. There will not even be one stone left upon another. Now, how did he know that? He'd read the book, hadn't he? God revealed that what was happening, what was going to happen. They were living in a time when the last of Israel's history was happening. And it was just a generation or so away when Rome was going to come in and absolutely destroy the place and literally fulfill the words of Jesus. They were called to serve God in a time of amazing darkness and rebellion and rejection of God's word. And yet God had a people that he was rescuing out of that situation. That's what he's doing today. God still has a people he's reaching in the midst of this darkness. I want to be one of the people that absolutely in harmony with what he's doing. I certainly don't have what it takes to do that, but that's not the point. So anyway, they ask him about it, and they ask him several questions. You know, when will this happen, the destruction of the temple, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the rest of the end of the age? So there's several questions he addresses, and they're all kind of mixed up. But the part I want to get to is what he says first. Of course, he says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah, or I am God's anointed, I'm somebody special that God has sent, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Does the daily news alarm you? There's plenty to be alarmed about, but you know, this is part of life in this world. And he says, see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Okay? Then he wants to give them something, a little bit of an insight into what their life is going to look like. I wonder if he came here and pointed you out and said, this is what your future is going to look like. Be sobering, wouldn't it? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Whoa, praise God. I want to be part of that. But that's the reality, folks, of what it means to serve God in a broken world and not live for this world but the one to come, because it's that real to us. Thank God. All right? And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So he gives a very broad picture there, but he also, you notice how he focuses on their destiny as servants, his servants in the first century? Praise God. Like I say, suppose he came here and gave us that kind of a picture. I mean, we are so accustomed to living in luxury and ease. Our way of life here is just not like much of history. It's not like it is in most of the world. Our brothers and sisters are suffering today. And I don't know what the history is, what going forward is going to look like, but I know this. God is preparing us. Notice how many times in all that he says about the end times, he uses the expression, be ready. Well, how in the world can we be ready without getting ready? You know, we think about, oh, well, I know that's coming, and when the time comes, I'm good. That would be a lot like somebody who wants to be a great athlete, but doesn't really want to put in the time and the effort. I'm good. I know how running works. I'm just going to step up there, and it doesn't work very well, does it? Praise God. I remember one time I was not a distance runner at all, to say the least. In fact, I didn't even do any competitive running in high school. But one day I had practiced running. I think it was the half mile. I had messed around at home, and boy, I was good to go. So I asked the coach if I could jump in there and run that. I got around halfway around the track, and everybody else was. You don't just do it because, hey, I want to do that. I can do that. It's not just some mental thing. There's preparation that's needed. If we're going to be some of these people that he can use in this kind of an hour, and we'll have what it takes on the inside to prevail and to stand and to endure whatever comes. You know, what if they suddenly put a gun to your head or said, if you're going to serve God, you're going to be dead. I mean, that happens. That happens probably daily on the global scale. I tell you, we're going to need something on the inside that's real. Praise God. And you could read that and say, he that endures to the end will be saved. And that could sound, the devil could turn that around and make it sound scary, like, oh my God, I've got to come up with something. I've got to come up with some sort of strength that gets me through all that stuff. What if this happens? What if that happens? Oh my God. But you know, John kind of was one of the ones listening to this. And he wrote some wonderful, encouraging words, didn't he, about what it is that overcomes the world? It's faith. Oh, okay, so I got to come up with faith then. Is that where faith comes from? Remember how many times we've talked about how faith is that supernatural ability that God plants in a willing heart. When we literally hand our lives over to him, he implants this thing called faith. And it's a confidence in God. It's a recognizing the reality that he is in control, that he is worth serving. All the things that's involved in our having an anchor in our soul. Praise God. It all comes from him. But faith is something that needs to grow. It doesn't just sort of magically happen, does it? God has got to do things in our lives. If we're going to be ready when some of these things happen, we're going to have to be getting ready in the meantime. Okay? And so we're going to need the Lord to work in us every single day to get us ready. Praise the Lord. Here's the thing that just seemed to jump out at me this week. How many of us come here, we enjoy being with people that we know, we hear the word and we rejoice and we go out and we feel good and we believe the stuff that we've heard, and then we just sort of put it on the shelf and we go through our daily lives and it just doesn't really translate into daily living? See, faith without works is what? It's dead, isn't it? if what we hear in here and what we claim to profess and believe in here is not somehow lived out, what good is it? It's not worth anything. You know, I noticed that there's two words that are very closely related in Greek. One of them is faith. And there's another word that has one letter difference in Greek, and it's translated most of the time in our Bibles as faithfulness. What's the difference between faith and faithfulness? Faith is the inner conviction about something, that this is true and so forth. Faithfulness is living that out. There's a fullness to that. There's something that is real. If I believe God is in charge, then there's going to be something in me, if I am living that out, that when I get in a difficult, scary situation, I'm going to remember, hey, God is faithful. In fact, isn't that wonderful that he uses that word of him? Great is thy faithfulness. Think about the exercise of faith that it took for Jeremiah to write the book of Lamentations, lamenting all the terrible things that had happened to Jerusalem and to the Jews, and the terrible destruction of Babylon. Oh my God, we've sinned against you, we've been judged, you're right in all you've done, but oh, the terrible condition of things in the middle of it, but great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies, your mercies are new every morning. I'll tell you, there's something that can enable in a spirit that's in someone who really has the faith, and they've learned how to exercise it, that even in the darkest hour, we can worship God. We can know that he's in charge. We can trust him with all the situations that come up and know that he is faithful. Thank God. You know, I've thought about a whole bunch of different titles. I guess Faithful to the End is as good a one as any. But we sing that wonderful song, Faithful to the End. God will be faithful to the end. Praise God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that even if some of these circumstances that Jesus warned his disciples about literally applied to you and to me, would we still trust God? Would we still be thankful and praise him? Now, how many of you think that you could just go along and just kind of casually go through your day-to-day living and not really get all that serious, and then all of a sudden everything fell apart, and then all of a sudden you were in that situation, that you'd be ready? You think maybe that God has a reason why he's ordering things in our lives? God knows what it takes. And the same God, like I say, that has a book of truth that outlines history before it happens, he knows my history. He knows my place. He knows your place. It's not a matter of whether it's a big place or an important place in our estimation. The fact that we even have a place in the kingdom of God is amazing. Thank God that he would include us. The more you look in the mirror and see what you're made out of, the more amazing it is that God would come in. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Praise God. Now, maybe you don't think you're a wretch, but you don't see the truth about yourself if you don't. Now, that doesn't mean we have to wallow in that. But the reality is that we have been saved by amazing, amazing grace. Thank God for all that he has done. But I know with all of my heart that God is looking to translate all that he has done for us at the cross, all that Jesus suffered on our behalf. He wants that to be translated into changes in our hearts and our lives so that we grow up in him and that we are able to fulfill the functions that he has laid before us. Praise God. Do you think the things that happen in your life are just random? That God just doesn't really order your steps? That if somebody says something mean to you that pushes your button, that, oh, that just happened? Or do you think maybe the Lord put it in somebody's heart or allowed someone to do that because he knows there's a need in you? And he wants you and me to learn how to grow and how to react in a more Christ-like way? How do we grow unless we have to deal with real life? I tell you, that part of the burden of my heart, I guess the older I get and the further along I go, the more of a burden it is that God would do something amazing in the younger generations. All the younger generations, I think, especially the young people. I don't know how many of you realize, and it just really dawns on you how loved you are. What God has called you to do and to be in this hour. Things that you could never possibly be in your own strength. That you would never choose the road that He's laid out before you. But yet there's a God who loves you, who has this destiny in mind for you, but He has a reason. You're here. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And there's a place He has designed for you. And the things that you just react to and just kind of blow through and just, you know, it's fun, this, that, and the other thing, and without really listening and taking hold of the things that He's teaching you and say, oh, wait, this is connected with that? You mean I'm not supposed to get mad? I'm not supposed to be upset? I'm supposed to learn how to handle this in a different spirit? No, it's getting real quiet. Oh, me. We all understand that, don't we? And here the Lord is putting us through our paces and giving us exercise, and we can just go through it mindlessly and not realize that God knows my path. He's written my history. He knows what I'm going to be facing down the road, and He's working faithfully to get me ready. And I'm just blowing it. I'm not paying any attention, and I need to wake up and realize how much He loves me and what He's doing for me. I want to do that more, don't you? And I long to see, I know the Lord longs to see a younger generation that just gets this. You do not need hand-me-down religion. You need a personal knowledge of a living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. You need a relationship where you will go to Him. You will recognize that every moment of your life is something lived under His mighty, loving hand. And He wants to teach you every single day to look to Him. You're going to run into, every day you're going to run into stuff where you can't do it. You aren't this. You can't do that. Welcome to the human race. I'm exactly the same way. I get up in the morning and I've got my own things to deal with. Every one of us does. But God is the one who is ordering our steps. And what He's looking for is faith that is translated into daily life. Faith in action. You know, you think about, I talked about an athlete who doesn't bother to prepare but just thinks because they know how something works, they can just step up and do it. But you know, the world is full of preparation that's necessary. Education. How could you suddenly step in and be a scientist if you didn't, you know, work at it and prepare yourself? How, you know, if they couldn't just hire you to be a soldier or recruit you to be a soldier and hand you a gun and say, go fight. There's a whole lot that goes into that, to get ready for that, to have the knowledge, to have the practice, to know how to do this and how to do that. God is training you right now for the things that are going to come, the things that you will face in this world. Some of the stuff you don't want to go through. You don't like it. God has ordered it because He loves you enough to put you in places that will challenge you and get you ready because He knows what's coming.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time. And may God richly bless you until then.